Father, we're so thankful that you've kept us this week, Lord, that you've drew us closer even, Lord, in the Word. And we are so thankful for that Word, Lord. Where would we be without it? Father, it means so much to us. It, Lord, being wrapped up into it, Lord, by your power in this day, I can't think of anything better, Lord. To be, as Brother Goomba was mentioning a while ago, one with you, Lord. There's something so amazing, Lord, about this relationship that we're in that just keeps getting greater and greater, Lord. We pray that you'll help us tonight as we pick up this little subject now, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. All right. So I did not realize I had kept y'all an hour and a half on Sunday. And so I'll try not to keep you so long today. It didn't seem like that much time had went by. But if you haven't had a chance to listen to Sundays, you might get behind listening tonight. But it's all the message, and we're a part of the message. So the Lord will give it to us as he sees fit. Amen. We're in the Ephesians Church Ages book, chapter 3. And I cut right into that paragraph right there. And he's talking about Christ. He does not speak and turn to a father, for he is the Father. He does not turn and give orders to a Holy Spirit, for he is God, eternal Spirit. And it is his life that is flowing and pulsing in the church, giving her life. And without him, there would be no life. So I don't know if y'all got a chance to listen in on Sunday, but we talked a whole lot about God taking our responsibility and him giving us his life. And the book was sealed to only him. Christ was the only one could open the book and give us life. And so we hit on that. We hit on quite a few other things. But as we're going down through here, I wanted to mention, I forgot to mention before I started, Brother Grimm was reading that quote from Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, and it reminded me, I wrote up something there on preeminence and put it on the website. Brother Bram talked about the threefold mystery, the threefold revelation that God had in the back of his mind. And the way he talked about it was that way that would unfold is that first he would have preeminence in Christ. So he had preeminence in nobody until he had preeminence in Christ. If somebody tells you he had preeminence in Adam, they don't know what they're talking about. And they're off the message. He did not have preeminence in Adam. If he had there would have never been a fall. So he did not have preeminence in Adam. And if he had preeminence in Adam, then when Jesus come along and he said first he was going to have preeminence in Jesus, then Brother Branham lied to us because he already had preeminence in Adam before he had preeminence in Jesus. So we have to get these things lined up just right. And the message tells us exactly what the truth is of it. Amen. All right, so his life is pulsing in the bride. Salvation is of the Lord. There is no one with him. When he tread the fierceness of the wrath of the fiery furnace. Now, when you think about these things, and you know who that was that paid that price on the cross. That was God paying the price on the cross. And there was no one with him when he tread the fierceness of the wrath of the fiery furnace. It was not another, but him who hung upon the cross and gave his blood. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. See, without him, we don't have faith. He is the Alpha and Omega of our salvation. He started it and finished it. Our salvation. We are espoused to him and not another. We don't belong to the church. We belong to him. His word is law. His word is law to us. Think about that. His word is law. Creeds, dogmas, bylaws, and constitutions, they have no effect on us. Remember what he said. She has, thus saith the Lord, or she's quiet. So all these dogmas, denominations, creeds, people's ideas, our own ideas, none of that has an effect on the bride at all, whatsoever. Amen. I'm so glad that it doesn't affect her. Yes, it is Jesus alone who walks in the midst of the churches. It is God in her, willing and doing of his own good pleasure. Amen. Could you think of anything better than him willing and doing? Do we trust him as a judge? He's the perfect judge. He's true. He is the one who tread the fierceness of that press on his own for us, to show us. You think about that. God who could create everything. I know I've said it before. I just can't get over it. To think that God who created all things would come down and let himself be killed like that and spit on like that and die like that to show you he loved you. Not just tell you he loved you. He come and showed you he loved you. Because Brother Branham says the only way that the word is made known is by vindication, is by it being brought to pass and interpreted. So he interpreted his love to people. Never forget that. It is God in her willing and doing of his own good pleasure. Never forget that. You have only one relationship to God. And God has only one relationship to you. And that is Jesus and Jesus alone. So does anybody know God outside of Jesus? No. Nobody knows him outside of Jesus. And the only way we know him is through Jesus. Never forget it. Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. So let's pick up in the Sardis church age. A grain of wheat is planted to the end that a single grain of wheat will reproduce and multiply itself through a certain process during a certain period of time. And that single seed will die, but in dying, the life that was in that will come up into the plant, which in turn will be the bearer of or carrier of that life that is to come back in originality in a multiplied form. There is no multiplied form until the one form goes down and dies. Don't miss that, brother and sister. Don't miss it. Did you read that? That's not Chris's words. There is no multiplied form until the single form goes down and dies and comes back. There is no other one. Jesus, the great royal seed, died. The seed died. Brother Ram said, we went to the cross in him. We were in the royal seed. That matches one who is that matchless one who is the life of the church, stands in the midst of the church for all seven church ages, giving his life to the church. Now think about that. He's been giving his life to the church all this time, and yet there's never been the birth that there has. Brother Rim said they were begotten in those ages, but not born. And know by Brother Ram's teaching that it's only when we're born that we receive life, not when you're begotten and growing in the womb. That's what Brother Ram taught us. To the end that his life to the church, the carrier or the bearer, to the end that his very life will be reproduced in bodies like unto his in the resurrection. It is the resurrection that the royal seed will see many royal seeds. So what's going on today, brother and sister? There's never been a birth like this one. The Lamb's Book of Life has never been opened till this day. The Son of Man is going to wake the dead. It's the voice of the Son of Man that wakes the dead. Where are we? The royal seed will see many royal seeds that unto himself, like unto himself. And they will be even as he is. For John, we shall be like him. I love that quote Brother Gubel was reading before. This is what John the Baptist was referring to when he said that Jesus would gather the wheat into the garner. That was the resurrection. And what did Brother Man preach in harvest time? We know this is the harvest time, brother and sister. Brother Bram said, people always miss what God's doing right now. They always are missing that. They all think they got it, you know, sewed up what he's going to do in the future. They think they got that all, and they're always wrong about that, usually. And then they think they know what happened in the past, and most of the time they're wrong about that. And they always are missing now unless God has put predestination in them to know the difference. That was the resurrection. He gathered the wheat into the garner. That was the resurrection where the redeemed who had been elected unto eternal life came in. Now, then, the record of this wheat plant, whose end is to reproduce the original seed in multiplied form, is the book of life. So, you see that? If you're anywhere in that plant, you're in that book of life. I repeat, the history or the record of this wheat plant is the book of life. And in Brother Branham, in some of the later messages in 65, he talks about how that you grow through that first book into the Lamb's book. This wheat plant is the book of life, which is a part of the book of life, is the record of eternal life. A part of the book of life is eternal life. A section of the book of life is eternal life. This is convincingly seen by examining the wheat plant. See, he's comparing that book, the one that Adam had before the foundation of the world that was sealed and it was broken our day. He's comparing that book to that. How can we know this if he's not already done it? Brother Branham said he does it, and then he shows you that he's done it. And so he's showing us these things that he's done. A bare seed is sown. Soon a blade is seen. But that is not the wheat yet. When it grows into a stalk, this is not the wheat yet. Life is there, but not the wheat. Then at the end of the stalk, is a little spike that sends out a tassel. Still a wheat plant, but no wheat yet. Then the plant is pollinized, and we see the chaff grow. The chaff grow, I think I said that right. This looks mighty like the wheat, but it is not yet seed. Then forms the wheat in the husk. It is now back to what it was originally. It's back. It looks just like the original now. Looks like Christ, the original. Now the ripened wheat is harvested. When it gets back to looking like the original, then the harvest. Jesus Christ died. He gave his life. That life was to come back upon the church and bring many sons like unto himself into glory in the resurrection. But as the wheat seed had to have a carrier to bring forth multiplied wheat seed, even so there had to be a church which would be the carrier of the life of Christ. As the blade, stalk, tassel, and husk were the carriers for the seed, but not the seed itself. The life was coming through there, but not the seed theirself. Even though those were seed, those were children of God, and those are going to come in. Brother Paul said they're not made perfect without us. As the blade, stalk, tassel, and husk were the carriers for the seed, but not the seed itself. I don't know how people, Brother Bram talked about begotten in the church ages, but not born. And right here he's telling them the same thing. He's just telling them a different way. That it was the life coming through. It wasn't the seed. The life had not formed to the seed yet. And that's what he told them when he said they were begotten, not born. For the seed but not the seed itself. So the church corporate through the ages has been the carrier of the true seed, though not the seed itself. That is why we say that the book of life is the whole wheat plant. And if you go on and read that, I think I cut off part of this. Let me get the rest of what I got here. Let's go over that again. Here's the original seed that was planted. It produced a blade. So the one that was planted, and Brother Don went into this on a series there a while back about Christ being that seed that went into the ground. That wasn't it. It produced a stalk. Not it either. Here comes husk in which the wheat is to form. That isn't it. The tassel appears. Then pollen falls on those pistils. Pollen falls on the pistils. What is that? What is pollen falling on the pistils? Anybody ever heard of that? Y'all know about that. Y'all probably learned that in school. I know Cameron's probably learning about that right now. You talk about the bees. The bees follow, they fly around to the plants. And if the bees don't fly around to the plants, then they don't get pollinated. So what's happening? The bee will fly to one plant and get pollen on it and take it over and fertilize the other plant. And then go and fertilize another plant. Without that, they're not going to grow unless it's some kind of hybrid, which is self-pollinizing and all this other stuff. The pollen falls on those pistils. Part of that plant is quickened. Part of it. Not all of it. Part of it. That plant is quickened. Something of that original seed that came up through the rest of the plant turns into seed. Turns into seed. Think about that. Remember what, in the last service, we talked about how Brother Branham said that he had to open up those seals outside the denomination. Now he's talking about this pollen falling on this seed, on this and producing the seed. Why didn't the whole plant go to seed? Because it was created to that end. Just part of that plant can go back to being seed because just part of the wheat plant is eternal life wheat. You have a perfect type of that in Israel leaving Egypt. Now, I never would have thought of this. How many times could somebody read the Bible and thinking about a wheat plant, thinking about the church ages, go back and type this to Israel, all of those that come out of Israel and only the few that went in? That's what he just told us. There's only a little bit of that plant that gets pollinated. There was only Joshua and Caleb that went in. You have a perfect type of that in Israel leaving Egypt. They came out 2 million strong. All escaped through the sacrificial blood. All were baptized in the Red Sea. All baptized in the Red Sea. All come out of the water enjoying the Holy Spirit. Manifestation and blessings. You know, if the message is hid right there so that when a group of millions of people goes through the middle of a river, the Red Sea, it's so hid that that is water baptism to the prophet later on. There is no way people are going to get that. It's so hid. God wrote his Bible in such a way that that was hid from them. All came up out of the water, enjoying the Holy Spirit, manifestation and blessings. all ate angel food, all drank of the rock that followed them, yet except for a very few, they were naught but carriers for the children who should follow them and go into Canaan land. All Israel is not Israel, and all but a tiny minority had their names blotted out of the book of life. We have the same right today in the church. Names are going to be blotted out of the book of life. No names will be blotted out of the book of eternal life, that section of the book of life. They can't be blotted out of there. For that is another record, though contained in the book of life. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Until his Son gave it to us, we didn't have it. God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life eternal, and he that hath not the Son hath not life eternal. And those who have that life here were in him before the foundation of the world. They were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Brother Bram said we were predestinated to life. They were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That great royal seed. Remember what he said about the royal seed? The great one having to be planted to come back in multiple form. Jesus Christ was planted. He died. And that life that was in him come up through the wheat plant and is reproducing itself. Reproducing itself in itself in multitudes of wheat seeds, having the same life in them and being like the original because by spirit they are original. All right, we're going to pick up this one quote here. There's only one way provided by God for anything. That's the name of the message. Now, you cannot take a plant that's been planted and hybrid it into something. Did I read that right? You cannot take a plant that's been planted and hybrid it into something to bring it back again and plant it. So once it's been hybrided, that's it. It will not do it. It will not reproduce itself. It can't, because God's commandment still stands the same. Every seed must bring forth of its kind. If it isn't, it's a hybrid seed with a perverted life, and it'll soon die. You plant a hybrid seed, it'll get up just about to where the ear should set in. It'll turn yellow and go black. Now, that's the same way that they have did it through animals. They did it through seeds. They've did it through everything else. They've did it in the church. It's try to make a prettier church, a better place, a beautiful thing, great things. This is how they're hybriding it. They are doing it. Now, we talked about that too. They hybrid it that by mixing it with some kind of man-made doctrines and so forth, and it gets up to the word where it could reproduce itself, and it dies because it don't have nothing but a hybrid life in it. It's not going to reproduce itself. There, you just simply, there's only one way to do anything, and that's God's way. And outside of that, it's all off because it will not reproduce itself again. We read the only way that it can be reproduced. I got scriptures for these things to prove that it's to be here in the last days, that he reproduces himself in the last days. I don't think people has paid enough attention to that, that God reproduced himself this last day. No other time did he reproduce himself until today. Now, what is the transformation? And we talked about this seed receiving life. And I got another quote in here where Brother Branham talks about he throws his life on it and brings it forth. But let's talk about it a little bit more. This reproducing that he talks about. What is the transformation quickly? How do we get it? What does the transformation? What is the transformation? Changing from one to another. What does the transformation? God does it by the Spirit of His Word. So God does the transformation by the Spirit of His Word. He transforms. He plants His seed, throws His Spirit on it. Without Him throwing His Spirit on that seed, it's not coming forth. He plants His seed, throws His Spirit on it, and it brings forth the product. How many times have Brother, we read that message where Brother Brown talks about the dynamics and the mechanics? And he said the mechanics was the Word. The dynamics is the Spirit. His Holy Spirit transforms the seed word into be vindicated of its kind. So without His Holy Spirit, that seed's not going to transform into this. Well, like, oh, remember we said they had that hybrid life? And they just produced something hybrid? What kind of a seed you are, that shows just what's in you. Because when God throws His Spirit on it, it's going to show what's in you. You can't hide it. Whatever you are inside, it shows outside. You just can't keep from it. You can't make that tree anything but what it is, see? It's going to be that way. The Holy Spirit transforms the seeds that's on the inside of it. It transforms it. No matter what kind of seed it is, it'll transform it. If it's evil, it'll bring forth evil. If it's a hypocrite, it'll bring forth a hypocrite. If it's a genuine word of God, it'll bring forth a genuine son or daughter of God through a thinking man's filter. If you come in any other way than that way, God has one way of doing it, and that's it. That's putting His Spirit, that royal seed who died and gave His life on it, on that seed to bring it forth. It'll bring forth a genuine son or daughter of God through a thinking man's filter. When the seed comes up, it comes through that. It produces a son and daughter of God. Amen. God knows how to bring it to pass. And you think about how many times in your life you didn't know what was going on. You didn't know what was happening. Things were happening and you got all upset about this or that. And then after you get through the battle, you can look back and see what was happening, what was going on. I know I've been there. I know everybody has been there, has been in those battles. One night, as I was seeking the Lord, the Holy Spirit told me to pick up my pen and write. And as I grasped the pen to write, His Spirit gave me a message for the church. And this is in the Church Age book. I'm sure everybody's read it. I want to bring it to you. It has to do with the Word and the Bride. Here is what I'm trying to say to you. Could you imagine sitting in your study and the Spirit comes on you and tells you to pick up the pen and start writing, and this is the first thing that comes out? Could you imagine that? God Almighty, of course, if you're the prophet, you done heard it lip to ear for so long, but still, these are the words that come out on the page the first time. Here is what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction is that each species brings forth its own kind. Even according to Genesis, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. So God spoke those things after he'd already thought them. He spoke them. So how did he say he transformed his word? while ago. He throws his spirit on it. So here he is. He's created all these things, and he's created man. Why didn't he just throw his spirit on man and be done? Why didn't he just put his spirit on Adam and be done? Because he could bring forth the seed and be done. Because it was ordained that the spirit was going to come through Jesus Christ. He couldn't put it on Adam. I hope you see that. If he ordained that we were to come to life, the seed of the spirit of Jesus Christ was to be put upon the bride to bring forth that seed, then there is no way Adam could have had it on him already. No way. Now, I hit that pretty hard and went over some other stuff on Sunday. If y'all have a chance, if you hadn't listened to it, there's no way. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Now, he's saying all these things. It doesn't mean they're absolutely doing it yet. And he even says that in the message. He says several times. Now, he just spoke it. That's what he's saying. He just spoke it. Doesn't mean it's happened yet. He just spoke it. And the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Whatever life was in the seed came forth into a plant and thence into fruit. And the very same law applies to the church today. That the law of the life coming on the seed will bring forth what's in the seed. That's what he just told us. The very same law applies to the church today. Whatever the seed started, whatever seed started the church, will come forth and be like the original seed because it's the same seed. See? It was reproduced from the same seed. It's the same life. In these last days, the true bride, church, Christ's seed, will come to the headstone. And she will be a super church, a super race as she nears him. I know we've read that a bunch of times, brother and sister, but we're living in that hour. There has to be a time that we're living in that the word is telling us where we are. And this is where we are, a super race. As she nears him, they and the bride will be so much like him that they will even be in his very image. Now, Brother Branham said that when that happens, the bride will recognize it. She'll see it. They and the bride will be so much like him that they will even be in his very image. This is in order to be united with him. They have to be in his image in order to be united with him. Brother Bram said in another place, he'll present her a virgin to his son to be married. This is in order to be united with him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Because he's reproducing that royal seed today. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Denominations can't produce this wrong seed. They will produce their creeds and dogmas and mixed with word. This mongrelizing brings forth a hybrid product. Don't bring forth the perfect one. It brings forth a hybrid one. The first son, Adam, was the spoken seed word of God. He was given a bride to reproduce himself. Notice the spoken word seed given a bride to reproduce himself. That is why the bride was given to him. That's why she's given to him so he can reproduce himself. To produce another son of God. But she failed. She fell by hybridization. She caused him to die. The second son, Jesus, also a spoken seed word of God, was given a bride like as was Adam. But before he could marry her, she also had fallen. She, like Adam's wife, was put to the test whether she would believe the word of God and live or doubt. And live or doubt the word and die. She doubted. She left the word. She died. And from a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ with a beloved bride. I don't know about you, but when I start thinking about that, I can't keep from bawling thinking about it. We're living in this hour, brother and sister, in the midst of the worst sinful mess there has ever been on the earth. It's never been this bad. And yet we're living in that, and God is doing this. He's presenting a bride to Christ. God will present Christ with a beloved bride. She is a virgin of his word. She is a virgin because she knows no man-made creeds or dogmas. She's back to the seed. Like him, she's spoken word seed. Because she knows no man-made creeds or dogmas, by and through the members of the bride, will be fulfilled all that was promised of God to be made manifest in the virgin. The word of promise came to the Virgin Mary, but that word of promise was he himself to be made manifest. God was made manifest. He himself acted at that time and fulfilled his own word of promise in the virgin. See what he said? He said up here, he said, fulfilled all that was, I'm sorry, let me back up. By and through the members of the bride will be fulfilled all that was promised of God to be made manifest in the virgin, to reproduce himself. That's what was supposed to be made manifest in the virgin, for him to reproduce himself. It took a virgin. It took one that's not been touched by dogmas and denominations, who don't have her old ideas. She's dead to them. That's the only one that he can take and reproduce himself through. But that word of promise was he himself to be made manifest. God was made manifest. He himself acted at the time and fulfilled his own word of promise in the virgin. He's going to fulfill his own word of promise in us. It was an angel that had brought her the message. Wow, watch him drawing that here, brother and sister. He's drawing that right down to what's going on in the right now. It was an angel that brought the virgin the message. Don't miss that. But the angel's message was the word of God. Isaiah 9:6. Remember what he said in birth pains when he read the first half? And he said the other half was now. You see what he's doing? Brother, this ain't no accident. There's no accidents in this message. There's none. He fulfilled at that time all that was written of him because she accepted his word to her. Because Mary accepted, said, "Be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word." He was able to fulfill these things. See why he had to open up those seals outside the denomination? Because it was only a virgin that he was going to be able to fulfill this word that he's opening up. It's only through that virgin he can fulfill it through. The members of the virgin bride will love him, and they will have his potentials, for he is their head, and all power belongs to him. You know, I can't imagine what it's like to be a wife and be subject to her husband. And I can't imagine what it's like to be a woman, and I don't want to try. But I'm sure just what I've lived with Katrina all these years, I know that women have insecurities a lot of times that men don't have. Men have different kinds of worries and things like that. But they like for the man to go ahead and take this and take this and do that and provide and things like that, at least if they're not of this world, you know what I'm saying, if they're feminine. But when I read this spiritually, I think I have an idea of what it might be like to be. Because when I think about him being my head and us having his potential, because I belong to him, I can't think of anything I like better to think about than I belong to Jesus Christ. Think about that. If you belong to Jesus Christ, what in the world can touch you and bother you and hurt you and tomorrow make us sink? What in the world could do it? Nothing. They are subject to him. You know, I read a scripture the other day that just spun my head around. You know how many times Brother Branham said, the natural always types the spiritual. He said it a bunch. And I think I looked it up and it was like 80 different times he said it straight out like that. And then there's other ways he says stuff. So there's probably more than 80 times. The natural types the spiritual. And I thought, you know, as times went on, I've heard him say stuff. And then as I go on through the message, I'll think, I wonder where he got that, because I don't think he would say something that he don't have a basis in the scripture for. I have not found anything yet. I'm sure it makes people's heads spin when he does tell them the basis. But I was reading this message and he said, things are made out of things that do not appear. The word. Things are made out of the word. The natural types the spiritual always. Because it's made out of that. You see why there's perversion that don't match the spiritual. And you see, but it matches the spiritual of Satan. The perversion does. But then when you have this virgin, the bride, she matches that spiritual, which is the word. I'll read you the quote sometime. I don't want to, that probably would take a message instead of trying to throw it in there. I just got so excited when I read it. That was just, and I saw where he got it from, and I'm like, I don't know how in the world. I don't. They are subject to him as the members of our bodies are subject to our heads. Think about that. If you tell your hand to move, you don't even have to hardly think about it. There's no resistance. It just does it. And that's how he's our head. And brother, we should be able to witness that in brothers and sisters. That should be what it is amongst all God's children. That's what he said. As we near him, that's what it's going to be. But Jesus had the testimony. What was his testimony? I do nothing unless the Father first shows me. And how can we have his same spirit be reproduced royal seed and not have the exact same testimony? Not because we're doing something or capable of doing something, but because he will do it in us. But not if you're not expecting it. Not if you're not wanting God to fulfill his word. What did Brother Graham say? Pray for revelation more than anything. If he gives you revelation, he's bringing his word to pass in you. So Brother Brown tells things that when you finally go and study them and look, you can see how great what he was telling you is. When he told you about go pray for revelation more than anything else. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. John 5:19. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. Think about that promise. That's a promise that he is going to bring to pass. He is bringing it to pass. He's not going to. He is bringing it to pass. He shows her his word of life, and she receives it. Here it is, brother, sister, when God presents that virgin to him, he shows her his word of life. He's reproducing himself. She can receive it. She can take it, and he can produce himself through her, just like Mary could have that. She had the faith that God had given her, and she could produce that. God could produce that in her. He shows her his word of life, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride as it was in Mary. The bride has the mind of Christ. Now don't miss how he said the word is in the bride. The word is in the bride as it was in Mary. And how did she accept the word? By faith. Be it unto me. The bride was the mind. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with his word. He is just dropping, in my opinion, he's dropping bombs, spiritual bombs on people. And I don't think they realize what he's telling them. These are promises. These are not hopefullys and maybes and way off. These are promises that he's dropping on us right here. They're ours. But not until we start acting like they're ours. And if we feel a pull towards this message that this is ours, I cannot believe that it's not ours. It's ours. It's going to be somebody's. It's going to be some bride sometime. And this is the last days that we're living in. These are our words, brother and sister. We're born to this age to receive these words, for to be the virgin that he makes these words come to pass in. She knows what he wants done with the word. She knows it. There's no doubt about it. She performs the command of his word in his name, for she has thus saith the Lord. My, that sounds like the prophet to me. That sounds like the same authority that was in the prophet. Not that I'm trying to make everybody prophets. I'm not doing that. God had a work he done in the prophet. Doesn't mean he's going to do all that in the bride. Then the word is quickened when the word is quickened by the Spirit and it comes to pass. When does it come to pass? When it's quickened by the Spirit. Has it come to pass before that? No. It comes to pass after it's quickened by the Spirit. Like a seed that is planted and watered, it comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. Those in the bride do only his will. He's describing Christ to the T. But he's putting the bride in there. No one can make them do otherwise. Nobody can get them off. What did he say? Nobody. The bride can't be deceived. No one can make them do otherwise. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Now see, brothers, that's why I've said things about them forums. And I'm not talking about y'all being in the forums. I know y'all trying to help. But this right here, there's a whole lot of not this going on in the forums. And that's why I don't like it. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. There's a whole lot of going on in those forums that isn't that. That's what I'm saying. That's why I've said stuff about it. That don't mean I'm against anybody going in there and talking on the forum. I don't mean that. I'm just saying that kind of stuff, unless God tells you to say so and so, then don't. Because he said, you'll have thus saith the Lord, or you'll be quiet. They know that it has to be. And thus saith the Lord will speak for itself. We don't have to argue it. They know that it has to be. God in them doing the works. They know that. He's describing us. He's describing us to the T. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. He did not complete all his work while in his earthly ministry. Remember what we pointed out about Isaiah 9:6 in the first half. His earthly ministry. So now he works in and through the bride. Wow. She knows that. For it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do. But he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. Now let us stand like Joshua and Caleb. Our promised land. It's very interesting that he would use that type there. Let us stand like Joshua and Caleb. Because you know who he said Joshua was. Wasn't the eighth messenger. It wasn't the eighth messenger. It was Brother Branham. He didn't say Brother Branham, but he in so many words he said, Brother Branham, it's the messenger of the age. That's Joshua. And who did he say Caleb was? Those who stayed faithful to the messenger of the age. And there's no accident that he used that here. Now let us stay like Joshua and Caleb. Our promised land is coming in sight, even as theirs did. Now Joshua means Jehovah Savior, and he represents the end time. I didn't know that was there. I forgot to put that in. And he represents the end time leader that will come to the church, even as Paul came as the original leader. Did you hear what he just said? Joshua means Jehovah Savior, and it represents the end time leader. Boy, I bet you wouldn't be able to give that to 75% of so-called message people. I bet you couldn't. Now, Joshua, even though it says it right there, means Jehovah Savior, and he represents the end time leader that will come to the church even as Paul came as the original leader. And Caleb represents those who stayed true with that end time leader, with that Jehovah Savior. Remember, God had started Israel as a virgin with his word, but they wanted something different. So did the last day church. Notice, which is the last day church? That's the one he's talking to right now. Notice how God did not move Israel or let her go into the promised land until it was his own appointed time. Now the people might have put pressure on Joshua, the leader, and said, "The land is ours. Let's go and take it," trying to get him to interpret it. That's Satan's favorite thing. Try to get you to interpret it yourself. "The land is ours. Let's go and take it. Joshua, you're all through. You must have lost your commission. You don't have the power you used to have. You used to hear from God and know the will of God and act quickly. And something is wrong with you." Wow. But Joshua was a God-sent prophet, and he knew the promises of God. Do you remember Brother Bram talked about them love letters to him and me? This is a love letter right here, brother. He's telling you who he is right here. This is Jesus talking to the woman at the well. This is God in the prophet talking to his people in this hour. Joshua was a God-sent prophet, and he knew the promises of God, so he waited for them. He waited for a clear-cut decision from God. And when the time came to move, God placed the full leadership in Joshua's hands because he had stayed with the word. Did the time come to move? He just said Joshua represented that end-time messenger, Jehovah Savior. And he said here that when it come time, he put the full leadership in Joshua's hands. Is he still talking about the end time leader? That's what I want to know. Because he wouldn't have told us that it represented the end time leader if he's not still talking about the end time leader. That's what I mean. This is a love letter to God's people. Joshua's hands get the full leadership in Joshua's hands because he had stayed with the word. God could trust Joshua, but not the others. So it will repeat in this end day. That's going to repeat. The end time leader went off the scene. Brother Branham went off the scene. So did it repeat? The same problem, the same pressures. And me and her were talking about that today, about that brother that, there was a brother one time that somebody said they were standing in a, it's in that, what's that book that we got? The Generations book. Said they were standing in the congregation after service or something, or before service. And they kept feeling this awful feeling. And they couldn't, they didn't know what was going on. It was terrible. And he said, Brother Branham walked up to him and said, Brother, that's, you're feeling this, that's for me. If you'll step over here, that'll go away. And he stepped over there and it went away. You think about that. That thing was coming at Brother Branham. And he didn't just let it go. He knew that it, what was going on, and went over there and asked him to move so he wouldn't be in it. You think about what he suffered. We don't suffer nothing compared to what he suffered. How can any messenger sent from God believe only a part of the word and deny some of it? The true prophet of God in this last day will proclaim the whole word. Denominations will hate him. Uh-oh, something happened to my screen. There it goes. Denominations will hate him. His words may be as harsh as John the Baptist, who called them vipers. But the predestinated will hear and be ready for the rapture. The royal seed of Abraham, with like faith as Abraham's, will hold to the word. Sorry, this thing's jumping all around. Like faith on Abraham's, will hold to the word with him, for they are predestinated together. The last day messenger will appear in God's appointed time. Now, if I'm not mistaken, yes, this is still Brother Branham, after he was told to pick up the pencil and write, this is still that. This is what God's writing out. The last day messenger will appear in God's appointed time. It is the end time now, as all know, for Israel is in the homeland. Any time now, he will come according to Malachi. When we see him, he will be dedicated to the word. He will be indicated, pointed out in the word. Revelations 10:7. Not just Malachi, Revelations 10:7. And God will vindicate his ministry. He will preach the truth as did Elijah, and be ready for the Mount Zion showdown. Was he ready? Oh, brother, was he ready? Many will misunderstand him because they have been taught scripture in a certain way, which they consider truth. And when he comes against that, they will not believe. Even some true ministers will misunderstand the messenger because so much has been called God's truth by deceivers. It's why Brother Branham, when he says that nothing, none of these dogmas and denominations will bother you at all, that means so much. And this prophet will come, and as the forerunner to the first coming said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Even so will he no doubt cry out, "Behold, the Lamb of God coming in glory." He will do this, for even as John was the messenger of truth to the elect, so is this one the last messenger to the elect and the word-born bride. Amen. Isn't that something? He wrote these things out, and they were happening. They had pretty much finished by the time this book got to us. But there's so many people will read this and don't believe it, and don't believe that it's happened yet. Maybe that's these ministers that they'll misunderstand because of all the deceivers that have come before us. Man, don't it make you so happy to be considered that? What we read tonight. If you ever get to feeling down, just turn over and read that sometimes. Just read it. Let God tell you who you are. Remind you who you are. Satan can really buffet this flesh sometimes, but the word will break through every time. Every time the word breaks through, it's dependable. 100% dependable. We are his property. Remember many times Brother Bram said that? Take your hands off God's property. Man. Amen. So let's stand. I'm letting you go early compared to Sunday. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for helping me, Lord. I need your help so much. Father, we're in this world, but we're not of it. And we know that, Lord. Thinking about that little sign I gave Brother Gerald years ago about the eagle. And it was staring straight ahead and it said, eagles know that they're eagles. There's no doubt in our hearts, Lord, who we are. And Lord, reading these words tonight, these are precious words, Lord. So precious to us. We're so aware, Lord, of what it costs to bring them. We might not know it to any real depths, but we can look and see the cost all through the Bible, all through the martyr ages, and all through the things that we saw happening in Brother Branham's life. And we just saw the part of it. We don't know how many times he got letters telling him this and that and everything. Lord, he just stayed right true to your word. And Lord, he just got through telling us that we will do the same thing. What is greater than that, Lord? We thank you so much for it. And pray that you'll go with us now through the week. You'll help Brother Michael and Sister Amanda on their headaches, Lord, so they can sleep tonight and get some rest. Lord, go with us till we come again together. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Brother Michael.